This is Jay Sekulow, my guest, the winner of the Iowa straw poll, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
President Obama is a one-term president. I want my candidacy for the presidency of the United States to stand for a moment when we, the people, stand once again for the independence from a government that has gotten too big and spends too much and has taken away too much of our liberties.
I also believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. As President of the United States, I will not rest until I repeal Obamacare. It's a promise. Take it to the bank, cash the check, I'll make sure that that happens. And I think the most eloquent words ever written were those in our Declaration of Independence that said it's a creator who endowed us with inalienable rights given to us from God, not from government. Government cannot take those rights away. Only God can give and only God can take. And the first of those rights is life, and I stand for that.
Governor, you said the era of small government was over. That sounds a lot more like Barack Obama, if you ask me.
We're stunned and humbled and grateful and thankful and all the rest, because this is really the people of Iowa that did this. And I think this really speaks to the fact that the people of Iowa wanted to have a champion for their voice. And I think they want to make sure they send that very strong signal to Barack Obama that he will be a one-term president.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Joining us now on the phone is a good friend and the winner of the Iowa straw poll, and that is Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. Congresswoman, first, congratulations on a job well done and a tremendous debate a few days before that straw poll. You really did a magnificent job.
Jay, thank you so much. We were so gratified, and the victory in Iowa was even more stunning, I think, than what was reported. There were other campaigns that had spent multiple millions of dollars and were there for several years, putting all of their team together on the ground. And we were in for 49 days, and I spent more than probably half that time in Washington fighting against increasing the debt ceiling. And so we were extremely grateful for the win that we saw that day.
Well, the momentum and the support is clear. I'm hearing it from people all over the country. We're hearing it on the broadcast. I'm hearing it when I'm out speaking. I was just in a case the other day, and someone was talking about you. So you've certainly created a tremendous amount of enthusiasm and buzz. Let me bring up something. You and I have had a similar experience. We both, when we were out of law school, worked for the Department of the Treasury, the Office of the Chief Counsel, the Internal Revenue Service. I just met with a group of our first-year law students here at Regent University. They're starting classes on Monday. And Congresswoman, a number of them have said to me how glad they are that they're in law school and thrilled to be here, but they are so concerned about their future and their job prospects for the future. I mean, these are 23 and 24-year-olds that understand the severity of the situation. I'm sure you're hearing this on the campaign trail as well.
I am, because I think especially for young law grads, you need to have bustling economies. You need to have commerce in order for lawyers to have jobs. And right now, we are not seeing that. In the first quarter of this year, the growth in gross domestic product was an anemic 0.4%. That's just barely even treading water at that point. And we didn't see much better for the second quarter. President Obama clearly has a failed policy for economic stimulation and growth. And job growth has been almost non-existent. In fact, it's been going backwards. It's at 9.1% right now. I come out of the private sector. I'm a private businesswoman. My husband and I have started our own successful company. We are job creators. And like you, I've worked as a tax lawyer. I see a few things. Number one, government is eating far too much of our money. It's becoming a money-eating machine. Number two, the tax code is a killer. You know that. I know that.
Oh, yeah.
It's killing job creation all across this country. And number three, from one huge regulatory burden to another, we can't even begin to appreciate the magnitude of what Obamacare has done to destroy jobs in this country, as well as the Dodd-Frank bill. I'm the chief author of the repeal of both of those bills in Congress. I think that's what sets me apart in this presidential field. I've spent my time in Washington trying to be a champion and a voice for fighting against this buildup of the establishment in Washington. I want to change it because I want the private sector to be able to grow and thrive so that the United States is the number one economy of the world into the future.
We're going to have more with Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann when we come back.
The nation's debt crisis is now prompting new action in Congress. The House is poised to vote on a critical spending measure, what's called the Cut, Cap, and Balance Bill, a measure to cut spending, cap future spending, and balance the budget. There's still no agreement between the White House and Congress, but what is clear, the Obama administration continues to spend taxpayer dollars on projects like funding Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider. Hundreds of millions of dollars go to the Palestinian Authority, which supports Hamas, a terrorist group. Taxpayer money for Planned Parenthood and Hamas. But the president can't assure Americans they will get their Social Security checks. Unbelievable. Sign on to our petition right now. Stop the spending. The debt crisis is at a breaking point. Adding more unsustainable debt is a moral mistake. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. The role of social media is now more important than ever in our national discourse. With fast-breaking developments and an ever-changing political landscape in Washington, D.C., now there's a way to stay on top of the political, legal, and cultural issues that matter most to you. Jordan Seculo brings the immediacy of Twitter to talk radio. As Director of Policy and International Operations for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jordan Seculo is one of the most followed conservatives on Twitter. He tackles the tough topics with insightful analysis and interviews with top decision makers and conservative leaders at home and abroad. Jordan is taking your questions live via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Seculo. The Jordan Seculo Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio and live on aclj.org. For more information, go to jordanseculo.com.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We are joined again by Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, and we've got a series of questions I want to get right into. I'd like to focus in on that for a moment because one of the things that I'm sensing right now is, and we just had a great victory at the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals on Obamacare with a Democratic-appointed judge ruling in our favor. We got another big case September 23rd at the D.C. Court of Appeals that we're arguing. But I wanted to focus on this one. I sense right now, Congressman, and you are offering a lot of hope and enthusiasm. I sense with a lot of people, and I'm talking about just people on the streets, people in their jobs, people just that you're meeting too, I'm sure. There's this sense of despair. It almost reminds me of the malaise days of Jimmy Carter, maybe even worse. What are you sensing on the trail?
Well, exactly. It's there everywhere, and why not? When you walk into a business that has had to let 50% of their employees go, where they were somewhere south of 250 employees, and now they're barely holding on to 100 employees, or other businesses that have to close their doors completely, that changes a community when that happens. And there aren't prospects for wage growth, much less job growth. And I think, Jay, one of the unappreciated stories of this summer is the youth unemployment. Youth unemployment was staggering this summer. Among African-American youth, it was almost 40% unemployment. Among Hispanic youth, it was approximately 32% unemployment. And white unemployment was also staggering. On every metric, unemployment was overwhelming. And, of course, that's where young people get their first skill sets in the job world. If they don't have that, then the next year and the next summer, they're even more disadvantaged. And so there is a reason why people feel that way. But the good news is the formula isn't that hard to turn the economy around. It's actually fairly simple. What we've been lacking is a president with a political will to do what needs to be done. Clearly, Barack Obama doesn't have a clue. He gave a speech yesterday that said that he intends to give another speech to give a jobs outline after Labor Day. We can't wait. I know what to do today to turn the job economy around for pro-growth. We need a president who understands that, who's lived it, and who has the political will to put it into place. That's what I bring to the table.
You know, you talk about your titanium spine and the political will. The reality is, I when I watch the debates, and I'm one that spends a lot of time in advocacy. You had a Supreme Court performance in these first two debates. I mean, it was very clear that you had a tremendous not only command of the knowledge, but just your capability of delivering the message clearly. When you're traveling, I know you're in South Carolina now. You're obviously in Iowa. You're up in New Hampshire. Are you hearing different things in these states? Is there different concerns? Is it all focusing on the economy right now?
No, I would say it's a unified message. It really is about jobs and the economy. That doesn't mean that people haven't forgotten about the issue of protecting life and marriage and the sanctity of the family. People are very concerned about that as well. But what people recognize is that there's a fear that the United States is in an unstoppable decline. They see the rise of China, the rise of India, the rise of the Soviet Union, and our loss militarily going forward. And especially with this very bad debt ceiling bill, what we have done is given a saber to President Obama, and the first thing he'll whack is $500 billion out of military defense at a time when we're fighting three wars. People recognize that. We have to give people a lot more attention or a lot more praise for following what's going on in Washington, D.C., than what we think. They really are paying attention.
They're very
disappointed in President Obama. They want someone to be their champion and someone that they can trust to fight for them.
You know, it's interesting you said that, because the sense that when I hear some of the politicians talking about, oh, the American people aren't following this, this is the days of summer, I'm going to tell you, someone that's out in the field every day trying cases around the country and but on radio every day as well, the American people are fully engaged. They know what's going on here. There is this sense of despair or almost crisis view.
Yes.
But you've got to offer hope here, and that's one of the messages that you're trying to get across so clearly. And I don't want a situation, Congresswoman, and we've talked about this before, where the American people think we have no hope. It's complicated, but it's fixable. And we can't make it so complicated in the way it sounds, and the president, I think, is doing this a lot, where he makes everything sound so complicated as if the American people aren't capable of understanding the scope of the problem, but there are solutions to this. And what you're trying to do, it sounds like to me, and what you're hearing from these folks all over the country, is we want solutions, we don't want talk.
Well, that's exactly right, Jay. And again, that's what the good news is. These are very solvable problems. The issue with dealing with our southern border, extremely solvable. The issue of dealing with spending, very eminently solvable. This is something that we can do. We can turn it around, and we can send very strong signals to those in the private sector that the federal government finally gets it and that it's going to pull back so that the private sector can grow. We took $2.2 trillion in revenue this year. In other words, all the taxes you paid, I paid, that your listeners paid, added up to $2.2 trillion. The federal government spent every penny of that. The problem is they spent an extra $1.5 trillion beyond that. That's insanity. We've never done that before. That's why we're in the trouble that we're in. We can calm the economic waters down. We can start job creation. We can get more investment in the United States. If there's a serious attempt to cut back spending, to repeal Obamacare, repeal Dodd-Frank, and also the EPA, I will tell you, the job-killing center of the universe is the U.S. tax code, and the regulatory job-killing center of the universe is the EPA. As President of the United States, as a federal tax lawyer, someone who's worked in private business, I will overhaul both of those so that they are job-friendly. And they do what they need to do to help people, not hurt people.
Sure.
Hi, Congresswoman. I just wanted to say that for those of us that are younger conservatives, and it's just been such a breath of fresh air to see you at the debates with your victory at the straw poll, the way that you've explained our conservatives' beliefs, especially when people are saying that they're radical. And I think that you're the one leading the charge on that, because we need an example of how do we explain this, not just to our social conservative friends or our conservative friends, but to those who may question where we're coming from. And I think at the debates, you've shown us exactly how to do that. But I'm also hearing a lot from our audience, and both women and men, who have seen the way that the attack on your faith, and specifically how it relates to being a woman in politics, and now they understand that this is very much out there. But the way that you've responded to the situation is not even really about yourself. You've risen above what they're asking you, and you're focusing in on issues like the economy, foreign policy, I mean, being president of the United States. And you've already proved that you could be the president of the United States by winning the Iowa straw poll. And yet this is the way that you've shown us to answer those questions in the right way. In certain situations, certainly in these situations that you're in right now as running for president of the United States. And Congresswoman, again, I just want to say thank you so much and keep it up, because you're really exciting a whole group of young people who are just looking for someone who can get up there, debate, hold their ground on these issues, explain it to the American people with a no-holds-bar approach, and you're doing just that. Thank you, Congresswoman.
Well, Jordan, I appreciate you saying that. We are seeing the tremendous momentum all across the country. I'm in Rock Hill, South Carolina today. We'll be having a rally in Florence, another rally in Columbia, and then we'll have a rally in Myrtle Beach tomorrow. We're just seeing huge crowds, tremendous momentum, because, again, what people are hungering for is someone who's a champion for their values and their voice, and someone that they see hasn't spent their life just trying to climb the next political rung to get to the next step. My focus instead has been to try and do what you all have been doing at ACLJ, and that's fighting the good fight. Where the fight is, that's where ACLJ has shown up. That's what I've tried to do in the political world. Wherever the fight is, I've shown up. I fought for man-woman marriage. I fought against tax increases. I fought against Obamacare. And I am an extremely hard worker. And that's why, as the nominee of the Republican Party, I will make it my business to elect 13 more like-minded Republican senators so that we can actually repeal Obamacare and repeal Dodd-Frank. And I will do that in the first 100 days of my administration. But in order to do that, I have to work extremely hard in order to be able to get 13 more senators elected also so that we can get this done. I believe it's possible because the people have looked at Barack Obama. They've decided he is not up to this task. It isn't that he was inexperienced. It was that he was wrong on the issues.
Right.
We need to have someone who is right on the issues and who's willing to be bold and a champion and stand for what's right and do what needs to be done. We have a tiny window of opportunity in 2012. We can't get it wrong this time. We have to have the right candidate.
Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, you have done a tremendous job so far on this campaign. You've been certainly a leader in the House of Representatives, but it is, as Jordan said, a breath of fresh air watching you engage these issues and continue the good fight as you encouraged us to. We will do that as well. And keep us posted. We're very encouraged by the enthusiasm you're bringing, and more importantly than just enthusiasm, the ideas that you're bringing to the table with regard to especially the economic issues. I'm with you. The social issues are important, the issues of life and marriage. But at the end of the day, what's on the American people's minds right now is the economy. Those issues are the other issues are not important, but your stands on that are crystal clear. And then we'll fix that tax code as well. Thanks, Congresswoman.
Thank you, Jay. Thanks, Jordan. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
You know, as Congresswoman Bachmann has said, this is about protecting liberty. And she's talked about, you know, this is economic freedom. It's also religious liberty, economic liberty. One of those religious liberty issues, folks, that we're working on are about American history, really, is this cross at ground zero. And, again, we have to defend this historic part of our history. Call now, 877-989-2255. It is about defending our liberty, this time religious liberty. 877-989-2255, or sign up at aclj.org, and we'll be at 100,000.
Regent Law School is training Christian lawyers to change the world.
Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice. He knows the value of an education at Regent University, and he knows Regent School of Law is much more than just an educational institution.
Regent is unique in that it offers the highest quality of legal education from a Christian perspective, and we never sacrifice intellectual integrity.
If you're considering a career in the law, it's time for you to consider Regent Law School. Regent Law School is distinctive because it integrates the study of law with biblical principles. Regent believes that law is more than just a profession. It's a calling. The time to apply right now. If you would like more information about the School of Law at Regent University or would like to enroll, call this toll-free number, 1-877-267-5072. That's 1-877-267-5072. There's more information online at regent.edu/law. Regent Law School, training Christian lawyers to change the world.
The nation's debt crisis is now prompting new action in Congress. The House is poised to vote on a critical spending measure, what's called the Cut, Cap, and Balance Bill, a measure to cut spending, cap future spending, and balance the budget. There's still no agreement between the White House and Congress, but what is clear, the Obama administration continues to spend taxpayer dollars on projects like funding Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider. Hundreds of millions of dollars go to the Palestinian Authority, which supports Hamas, a terrorist group. Taxpayer money for Planned Parenthood and Hamas. But the president can't assure Americans they will get their Social Security checks. Unbelievable. Sign on to our petition right now. Stop the spending. The debt crisis is at a breaking point. Adding more unsustainable debt is a moral mistake.
Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. It was really an honor to have Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, who's been our friend at the American Center for Law and Justice since she's been in Congress, but is certainly making waves on the campaign trail, winning the Iowa straw poll, and taking time out of her busy schedule. Now she's in South Carolina to talk to our audience today, our ACLJ members. And let me just say, folks, we would never ask these questions of Congresswoman Bachmann that I kind of highlighted when I made my comment to her about just thanking her for standing up for our principles and her faith and the way she defends our views. I would never stoop to the level that the media has gone in these questions about her faith. So I'm not going to ask her even to respond to that. But I do want to show you and what I'm talking about. Why did I say that to Congresswoman Bachmann? On my show, on the Jordan Sekulow Show, we've been breaking it down, this attack on Congresswoman Bachmann, with one of our contributors, Anna Hanslick. I wanted to play some of that for you today in light of having Congresswoman Bachmann on the show earlier. Why are we letting people in the media who aren't even evangelicals, not even necessarily Christians, certainly not theologians, define what these terms mean, which are very specific to the Christian faith? Now, this is Congresswoman Bachmann. After winning the straw poll, after proving she's a leader, having to respond to this with David Gregory on Meet the Press, Byte 26.
Submission, that word, means respect. It means that I respect my husband and he respects
Congresswoman,
me.
Congresswoman, I didn't even have to check with my wife, and I know those two things aren't equal.
What's
submission
that?
And respect.
Well, in our house it is.
You know, I mean, what a kind of like tone, right? But in his house, we don't care. First of all, he's not a presidential candidate. Second, I don't know how he's defining these terms, but this is a bigger issue. We'll play more about it with David Gregory, too, because I think it's just egregious. And this is about the faith. It's about being a woman. Anna Hanslick wrote about it again yesterday for our ACLJ docket blog. And Anna, thanks for being with us again.
Thanks for having me, Jordan.
You know, and Anna's a contributor. She focuses on the other issues, too, as well as, you know, not just Bachmann, but it's been so much in the news since the straw poll. It's worth the time. So let me ask you about this. This Twitter phenomenon and this ability for what it seems to me is it's sanctioned sexism by the left as long as you're attacking conservative women.
Yeah, well, I'll give you an example. It was interesting because a couple nights ago I was checking out my Twitter feed and came across a post by a journalist named Alex Hurd. Unless you read Outside magazine, you probably haven't seen much of his work. Well, this Alex guy has about 400 Twitter followers.
Yeah, I mean, so that's not that many people on Twitter. I mean, I'm not trying to demean anyone who's not, but it's not like he's reaching thousands of people by his commentary.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so, but, you know, he tweeted something that hit a nerve with me the other night that was, quote, "My Bachmann theory, what she really wants is a Palin payoff, meaning a book deal, reality show money, etc." And then he said, "I'd watch 23 is enough." You know, this comparison of Bachmann and Palin purposefully implies that these two strong, successful women must be the same because, well, they're women. And by the way, his 23 is enough statement refers to the title he would give Bachmann's hypothetical reality show, mocking the fact that she has raised 23 foster children.
Yeah, I mean, again, let me play the second again, because David Gregory, you know, even after Congresswoman Bachmann does a great job explaining this, and yet the media won't let it go. I got my own theory on it, but take a listen.
We've been married almost 33 years, and I have a great deal of respect for my husband. He's a wonderful, wonderful man and a great father to our children, and he's also filled with good advice.
But his word goes?
Pardon?
His word goes?
Well, both of our words go. We respect each other. We have a mutual partnership in our marriage, and that's the only way that we could accomplish what we've done in life is to be a good team. We're a good team together.
Right. Good teams. I mean, such a bad thing, right? I guess so to liberals. But what is so egregious here is that these guys think that you're a bad thing is raising 23 foster children. Now, that's something to mock. That's something she did to turn into a reality show. Because guess what? When she started raising those 23 foster children, reality shows didn't exist. There was no such thing. She was not making a premeditated decision to go do something that she'd get more attention later in life that would turn it into money. They are upset, Anna. Because these women are not only more successful than they will ever be in their life, that they are more prominent, that they are probably smarter and better at politics, more well-known. regardless if they win, if it's Palin or Bachman. But this comparison between the two, constantly saying that Palin is Bachman, Bachman is Palin, it's not because being either one of them is a bad thing. It's because if we let these liberals use sexism just for conservative women, when we allow that to happen, it is something that, again, we're kind of defining all conservative women.
Yeah, Jordan, well, I wouldn't have even mentioned this, but, you know, it was retweeted by Jack Schaefer, a fairly well-known editor over at Slate Magazine. He retweeted it to 18,000 followers, and you can imagine from there his message basically snowballed.
Yeah, I mean, listen, and this is the issue with Twitter, which is why I always say this is important, folks. You could take a message, and, you know, it could be a message you sent, right? You can be you don't have to have 10,000 followers on Twitter. I could see it, and I've got, 15,000. I could send your message out, and it's an endorsement of your message, and certainly, it starts giving more and more justification, even if it was just an offhanded remark that kind of snowballs into something. But this is not, Anna, just about Bachman and Palin and Bachman being the same, because being them is not a bad thing. It's that trying to make conservative women all the same in the short term it is bad, but also in the long term, bringing more women into politics.
Yeah, what I want to know is how these liberal journalists are getting away with this kind of sexist rhetoric. Not only that, but Jack Schaefer responded to my blog post on Twitter yesterday, and he said, "Hey, Anna Hanslick, be careful of who you're calling a liberal, but I don't mind if you call me a sexist." I understand that was probably meant to be tongue-in-cheek, but would he ever say, "I don't mind being called a racist"? I mean, think about that for a second.
Yeah, it is again, folks, it's okay to be a sexist right now if you're a liberal only applying it to conservative women. But, I mean, the point of this is that it's not just David Gregory. It's not just Meet the Press. But they've set the tone for everyone else to follow suit. And instead of just pointing out, the few big shows, it's really is happening, Anna, all over. It's all over the place. And people, once you call them out, it was very interesting what happened.
It was very interesting. I mean, they both respond to me. And like I said in my blog and on radio a couple weeks ago, it continues to baffle me that prominent liberals say that conservative women like Bachman want to put women back in the kitchen, and then they just get away with it.
This exposing this is to show that it's not just about because you're necessarily voting for Bachman for president, or you're voting for Palin for president, or you think that there are some similarities. It's letting those kind of attacks just happen, foster children, or they're just about money. It's because they don't want conservative women rising to the top, because that will break the stereotype of what it means to be a conservative, and they think they still got this lock on women. And if this happens, it's gone, because now two of the most popular politicians in all of the country are Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachman. They're bigger than Hillary Clinton, a lot bigger than Hillary Clinton. They're bigger forces. They get more media attention, and that's what this is all about.
Yeah, it's so that they can push them out of the political landscape because they know they can actually win.
Yeah, there's one thing that's certain, folks. Our faith will be under attack. It doesn't matter if you're running for president of the United States or if you're trying to keep part of our history, the cross at Ground Zero, in place so that future generations see it at the 9/11 Museum and Memorial. And let me just tell you, today we are so close to 100,000. We are preparing, or the legal brief is prepared, we're ready to file in court, but we want to hit that 100,000 mark so we can say our legal committee represents 100,000 American people standing for the Ground Zero Cross in just a couple of weeks. I know there's a lot of distractions right now, folks, but help us get to 100,000 on this. It will be huge as we continue to defend the cross at Ground Zero. 877-989-2255 or sign up at aclj.org.
If you've previously listened to the full hour of Jay's broadcast, now beginning at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, you can listen to the new Jordan Seculo Show. Jordan Seculo provides insightful analysis and interviews with top newsmakers, live from Washington, D.C. The Jordan Seculo Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 Eastern. Find out how you can listen to the show online at www.jordanseculo.com. And if you're interested in carrying this new program on your station or network, contact the Jordan Seculo Show via email, info@seculo.com.